You're listening to Real Talk, sponsored by Marcus Werenberg Theaters. I'm Colin Ritter.
And I'm Peter Lewis.
And today's episode is the May News Roundup. So today we're going to be talking about some box office numbers so far. We're going to be talking about some upcoming movies, some industry buzz, as well as maybe talk about a quick movie here at the end that was watched over the weekend. So we have a lot of fun stuff to talk about this in this episode. So I say we just kind of get things started. So I guess we start off with box office numbers. What do you say?
Yeah, seems like the most obvious way to go.
So numbers. So weekend actuals, Alien, we're looking at $36 million here. Now, Guardians of the Galaxy, obviously still not their, it's not their opening weekend anymore. We're far past that. Still made $34 million. So, I mean, just right behind Alien.
There's still talk it's probably going to hit the billion mark, which, you know, good for that film and, you know, good for Marvel. They keep doing it.
Exactly. So worldwide, Guardians is sitting at $732 million, whereas Beauty and the Beast, it's number one worldwide for the whole year so far. I mean, we're well into May now, and Beauty and the Beast has made $1.2 billion worldwide, so that's pretty good.
Does not surprise me at all. These, it's a classic Disney film. You got Emma Watson, who's a big moneymaker.
Oh, yeah.
Especially in these, you know, big, wide-release fantasy films. I mean, makes complete sense.
Exactly, it does. Beauty and the Beast is approaching half a billion dollars here in the United States. Guardians is at $300 million. And then in the third spot in the U.S. is Logan at $225 million. So those are some pretty solid numbers.
Yeah. Again, summer blockbuster season, we're going to see a lot of films, you know, start making money because, you know, that's what the Hollywood's designed to do.
Exactly. So let's take a look here at some ratings for movies opening this week that, they have some interesting numbers. Baywatch comes out May 25th, 2 days, sitting at 11%.
And we are using Rotten Tomatoes for everybody listening.
Yes, for those listening, Rotten Tomatoes, I should have said that, but 11% for Baywatch, what do you think?
Doesn't surprise me.
We'll watch it so you don't have to.
Exactly.
Pirates of the Caribbean is sitting at 34%.
I know that must hurt you.
It does, but as we've talked before, they need to stop with the Pirates films. I was a huge fan of 1 and 2. I mean, I loved them. I even liked 3. I really, truly did. I mean, I love the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise. I love the ride of the attraction at the Disney parks, but there comes a time when you have to stop, and I think it's time to stop.
I can't say I'm shocked by this. I mean, again, we talked about this before. You know, you based a film on a ride at a Disney World, and again,
Disneyland.
Sorry,
but, I mean,
Disneyland.
Who's counting?
you're the theme park expert. So that's your thing.
Well, it's at Disney World too, so you were right.
Why not? But again, it's just like you got lucky the first time. Second time around, you know, Johnny Depp's a good. Makes a good Jack Sparrow. What can we say?
Exactly.
And again, I kind of agree with you on the third film. I know that's kind of, it's not exactly the unpopular opinion, but it's like the, really? You like number three?
Exactly. It's like Transformers. You get to that point and then people either love it or they hate it. There's no in between. And then when you are in between, people are like, really? You kind of liked it? Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, people hate it or love it. So yeah, you're right.
But again, not shocking numbers.
Yeah. So numbers for the past few weeks of some movies that are already out, have been out for some time. Guardians of the Galaxy, 81%. I think that's a conservative number.
Fairly surprised.
I thought it would be higher. I really did.
Because I think Guardians 1 was 92% on this site.
We can check right now.
Exactly. We got the internet on
the
site.
We have the internet.
But it kind of does, because you and me, we kind of came to the agreement it was better than the original.
Yeah.
I think that was our consensus.
I really think it was.
That's not really the exact consensus in terms of, from critical reviews, I've seen like people say it's a good film, it's a, you know, serviceable sequel, but it's kind of a minority opinion to say this outdid the first one, which again, the first one was one of the most surprising films, you know, in a long time.
Let's see here. What else do we have on here? Alien, which Peter, you saw this weekend. I did not.
Mm-hmm.
I guess immediate, just
short review.
Flashbulb thoughts here.
Here's the thing about Alien. The first two are fantastic.
Absolutely classics.
And after that, it's like, okay, why are you still doing... Here's the thing. This is the sixth Alien, well, technically eight if we're going to count Alien versus Predator and that sequel, which I'm not.
Yeah, I'm not going to count that.
as many people know, it's the sequel to 2012's Prometheus, which...
Yes.
You want to talk about a divisive film.
Oh, absolutely.
No, I still don't think people know what happened in Prometheus. I still don't. Still trying to wonder what on earth happened.
Gotta love it.
But the thing is, rather than fully, like, you know, explain more what Prometheus didn't, because there were some, if you want to talk, if you like plot holes, Prometheus is the perfect movie for you.
Yeah.
That's the Peter Lewis review right there.
That's the Peter Lewis review.
It doesn't really go into like what happened after Prometheus. I haven't seen Prometheus since 2012. I remember some like really, really weird things, like just really dumb things that suck out. But I think overall I enjoyed it. Covenant overall, I'm just like, why did you make this?
Let me ask you this. So right now on Rotten Tomatoes, it's at 72%. Do you think that's an accurate assessment, or is that too high, or is that too low?
Again, we always have to say Rotten Tomatoes is the critical consensus. Like, what percentage of critics say it was good? Metacritic's probably the best site because, you know, it's actually
true.
Pulling all the numbers in to, you know, give it a, you know, reasonable score of, like, what the scores actually mean. But again, I see the point of Rotten Tomatoes. I think that's a little too fair if you're going by the, if you're judging, like, that as a C.
Yeah.
I don't like number reviews, in all honesty. I think that kind of just, you know, makes some reviews pointless. Like, people just automatically go to, like, oh, it got an 8. Gonna move on. It's like, well, no, here's the thing. If you actually read it, some of the reason it got an 8 is pretty shocking.
Yeah, exactly.
But, like I said, it's just like, what is the purpose of making this? Because it didn't really go over, try to justify anything Prometheus did that was still need to talk about. I remember Prometheus ended on Dr. Elizabeth Shaw, like, going out to search or something, and they just killed her off screen. Michael Fassbender.
That's
still
a cop out.
It is. Michael Fassbender's in it again as the android thingy person. That's all.
Good description. Good descriptor.
I honestly don't remember the point of that, but he's clearly the best part of this film, but it's like, it's not saying much.
Yeah.
Like, you can be the best you could probably say somebody was really good in the room. Doesn't mean much because the room was trash.
Again, I did not. You're my favorite customer.
We're going to talk about that maybe one day.
We are. We're going to talk about it. I think actually we should provide a full commentary of the room. That deserves a solid, you know, 2-hour episode because, I mean, you're my favorite customer. That's all I can say.
Back to something less interesting, Alien Covenant.
Alien Covenant. 72%. I haven't seen it.
I'm honestly not going to lie. If you really love Alien, the whole franchise for some reason, if you just really love Ridley Scott, all that, go ahead. It's not the worst thing this year, but it's just like, why was this made?
Well, on the Rotten Tomatoes scale, Peter Lewis, what would you give it?
I'm going to say 60.
60%? Fair enough. You're still passing.
It's a serviceable film. It's just like, it feels like every other film. And again, you look at Alien and Aliens, we kind of expect more. But again, that feels like forever ago.
Yeah. Well, it kind of was, you know.
Yeah.
So, now, news. Industry news. So, there's a lot going on in the realm of Hollywood, in the realm of film, in the realm of television even. Mm-hmm. So, what are the headlines for the month of May? But, I guess, even today, there's a lot that's been happening overnight this past weekend, and unfortunately this morning. Most of you will probably know the news by this point. So what's going on in the world of Hollywood?
Well, unfortunately, the breaking news at the time recording this, Roger Moore has passed away.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
From cancer. Not even sure I heard that before.
Yeah.
You know, it could be like the Bowie situation where he just, you know, kept it under wraps because, you know, no reason to start a panic or something.
Kind of like the Walt Disney situation
exactly.
In a sense.
Probably the second, I'm not going to lie, second best Bond after Sean Connery.
Yeah.
I know people are going to start making the argument for Daniel Craig. Daniel Craig was in two pretty bad James Bond movies, people. Have you seen Quantum Inspector? Not good.
We don't talk about those.
We don't. Never will.
But, yeah, it's a shame. Played Bond 7 times. I mean, something like that, something so iconic as James Bond, that becomes so much a part of who that person is, and, you know, and just, he's gone. I mean, it's sad.
There's been 24 Bond movies. You know, he's been 7. It's a pretty sizable majority of someone who played James Bond.
Yeah, such an iconic character. Moving on, we have some news coming out of the Justice League universe, some very sad news given the situation, but to some, you know, deep film critics, they may say this is a good thing.
It's just
for
the
Justice League universe.
It's
in
just
DC.
The reason for it is kind of unfortunate.
It is unfortunate.
Zack Snyder, I will preface this. Zack Snyder has stepped away from finishing Justice League, which is supposed to come out this coming November. I haven't seen that he's completely out of the DC universe.
Yeah.
It's just he's stepped out of, you know, helping finishing the film up, because I think they're in the post-production stage at this point, obviously. They have Josh Whedon coming in, most famous recently for directing the Avengers and Avengers Age of Ultron. Oh boy.
Yeah. Oh boy. How can he do that? How do you go from Marvel to DC? That's sacrilege.
Would you see Age of Ultron? It's kind of understandable. Let's make the same movie again with just Ultron.
That's Hollywood, though. Hollywood is just a bubble of making the same movie over and over and over again and putting a different name on it.
It was so obvious, though. Like, they didn't even try.
That's kind of how Peter feels about The Force Awakens when compared to A New Hope.
Star Wars, our summer series on Star Wars is coming up, people.
Be sure to check it out when you find out that Peter actually hates Star Wars. It's true.
This is a good recurring joke.
Peter has more Star Wars shirts for anyone who... I mean, I've never seen someone who hates Star Wars this much and has this many Star Wars shirts. It just blows my mind.
I'm sorry.
If I could actually talk this morning, that'd be great.
We shouldn't record at 9 in the morning.
We shouldn't.
So, yeah, those are the two unfortunate. There's also Chris Cornell passed away. He a good connection to James Bond universe. He wrote the song for Casino Royale in 2006. Probably my favorite Bond song.
Yeah.
Again, that's the Soundgarden fanboy in me, but you know.
Oh, Peter. No, I'm kidding. So we have some Halloween 2018 news. John Carpenter's back in the game. Well,
so far,
sort of
so
involved.
Far, so far as a musician, but there's kind of reports saying he might be having a hand at screenwriting.
I mean, how do you do another Halloween film and then have John Carpenter only sort of involved? You know what I mean? It's kind of like, really?
Well,
you got to have the mastermind behind it.
Let's explain what this film is.
Yeah,
so
good point.
A few years ago, they announced Halloween Returns.
Yes.
Which was supposed to be set after the direct sequel to Halloween 2, not the 2009 Rob Zombie, the 1981 Halloween 2. I hope that year's right.
Yeah.
And the gimmick, it's probably a gimmick, was it was the trial of Michael Myers. Which, you know what? Say what you want about what that series has become. That sounds interesting.
Yeah.
That kind of sounded fun. And that kind of fell apart. Dimension got bought out, so that whole thing just fell apart. They're owned by Paramount now, I believe.
Because
what happened was, if you remember back to one of our earlier episodes this year, when we previewed 2016, I talked about my excitement for the Friday the 13th remake they were going to do this year.
Yeah.
That got canned, unfortunately. And this seems to be the replacement. So we have David Gordon Green as director and screenwriter, along with Danny McBride as the screenwriter. That's the most interesting duo I can imagine. You have the director of Pineapple Express and Danny McBride, obviously, you know, what was that show? Eastbound Downs or something?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Where he played the most American man you could possibly imagine. So, similar premise. It's the direct sequel to Halloween 2, again, the 80s version, not the 2009 one.
Thank you.
And they're...
Wait, Peter loves the Halloween remakes.
Oh, I do. And the gimmick here is Michael Myers is not immortal.
So, yeah. I mean, he
although,
can't,
let's be real.
He just survived and, yeah.
I was about to say, do you remember the Halloween 2 ending? He survived. You're going to tell me he survived a hospital? I don't care at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I have no words. I mean, these horror film remakes and sequels and prequels and all this, it just... I'm kind of numb to them at this point. You become numb. I mean, look at all these quote-unquote great movies. I mean, you have the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre. You have Halloween. You have Friday the 13th. You have Nightmare on Elm Street. And then we have this long string of remakes that, I mean, in my opinion, don't really do any justice. They don't give it any justice when compared to the originals.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the fact that John Carpenter's somewhat involved gives me some hope, but at the same time, I can see this being a huge flop. So, I guess... What I'm saying is, if it is a huge flop and it's terrible, I'm not surprised. I'm already ready for it.
Again, they missed the point of what the Halloween franchise was supposed to be way long ago. So at this point, I guess it's understandable.
Yeah.
I kind of would have preferred Friday the 13th because at least then I'm 100% ready. It could be trash and I'll still
love
it.
You don't care.
Oh, yeah. I watch those films religiously around Halloween time.
Exactly, because you love the trash.
Oh, it's...
Peter hates Star Wars and loves the trash.
It is high-quality trash.
High-quality trash. That's a good trash. Let's see, what else is going on in the world of Hollywood film? And I know we don't talk about television a lot here, but this is in relation to film, so I don't know if any of you know this. I'm sure you do, but... So, The Dark Crystal, one of my favorite movies of all time.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a new Netflix original series called The Dark Crystal: Age of Resistance. I'm very excited for this because it's kind of bringing back, you know, this this Jim Henson classic that I love and adore so much as a kid. So, again, not entirely film-related, but sort of film-related because it's a spinoff of a movie. I think this could be cool.
Well, again, TV's kind of getting to that. I think it's kind of at the level of film quality. You know,
oh, absolutely.
Years ago, I remember watching Smallville.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that was the cheesiest CGI you could possibly imagine. But, again, it was early 2000s TV. They didn't really have that budget.
Exactly.
I mean, now they're doing some. I mean, I'm not a Game of Thrones fan, but
oh, the quality! Oh my gosh,
it is surprising for a TV show. Like, they're actually putting money into that.
And this is something I say quite often, and I believe I've talked to you about it before. I'm honestly, in a lot of cases, I'm a bigger fan of some of these well-developed TV shows. Especially, I mean, I'm a huge HBO fanboy because you have so much more time. It's more of a long form. You have give me seasons to break down, you know, this entire story, and you have much more. Obviously, I mean, you're not, you know, held within the parameters of 2 or 3 hours. You have more time for story development. It's like, I mentioned this morning, The Newsroom, one of my favorite TV shows of all time. You just have so much more room for development over the 3 seasons than you do with the movie. So I think this could be really good. Again, I love The Dark Crystal. It may be awful. I mean, that's kind of how this industry works, right? It's either good or it's bad. I mean, I know that's really cliche and kind of vague, but that's what it is.
Again, depends how you look at media. Like, for me, a TV series I just can't really get into. It's just too much time. I kind of enjoy film having to work with that problem. You know, you don't have that much time to do all these things you probably want to do, but somehow some films find a way. And I think that's more impressive. And again, if I have 3 hours, I want to watch, you know, a movie or two.
True. That's just I understand. Yeah.
We have more news. The Universal monster movies officially is now known as the Universal Dark Universe.
Yeah, this is cool.
They have announced Bride of Frankenstein for 2019. I know people are like, Peter, you hate remakes. You should hate this. Here's the thing. Almost all these characters are in public domain, so it's kind of,
yeah,
this is what you're allowed to do with them.
Exactly.
And again, if you're like me, you remember most of the Universal monster movies from, you know, the 20s to the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
They're classic. I think it could work right now, because I think they're going to take that risk. I mean, again, they got Tom Cruise for the Mummy remake. That looks pretty good.
Yeah.
He's the new Brandon Fraser.
True. You're not wrong.
Again, you know, I'm interested. It didn't get off to the best start, but I think they're starting to find people who they can trust.
And you love the original monster movies, too.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what? Here we can talk about, we should probably have a show where we just talk about the idea of remakes, reboots.
We really should.
Because sometimes I understand, sometimes I don't. Like, if it's, here's the thing. Ben-Hur was made in, I think the first film, the big film version was 1925, and obviously there's the glorious 60s version of it. And then they just remade it last year. It's like, that's a movie you don't have to remake because you did it right the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not much room to change the story. I get modernizing, you know, Morgan Freeman and Dredd. That was a pretty good selling point. But at the same time, it's like, we don't need this. We don't need this. Oh, you want to talk about remakes we don't need. 2018, David Ayer is directing the Scarface remake.
Yeah, what's the, I mean, why? Really, why? Well, what's the point of this?
I don't even have the words.
The deep critic, Peter. What is the point of this?
I don't have the words for that. David Ayer obviously coming after off the disaster that was.
I feel like Darth Vader at the alteration at the end of, no. Like, why? I mean, why remake Scarface? Give me a break.
Like, here's the thing. The 80s version of Scarface was technically a remake of the 1932 Scarface. But again, that was dramatic change in what crime films were at
exactly.
the time.
Exactly. That's understandable.
1930s, it was the fun gangster movies. You know, the G-Men coming in, just, you know, shooting up the place. That was fun. Scarface, obviously, you know, it's the drug age. You know, we got so much crack going into Cuba. And here we have Al Pacino just yelling, swearing, and shooting. That's what we need. What is that?
See, here's my problem. The day that Hollywood starts remaking all of these good movies, I mean, I don't know where I was going with that, but it's going to be bad.
I mean, at this point, they don't even care. I mean, you know, they've remade Ghostbusters last
year. Oh my gosh, I know.
It's like, why?
And it makes me afraid that we're going to start seeing remakes of Goonies. If you touch Goonies, oh man, that's going to be bad. If we touch Goonies or we touch Jaws, or could you imagine like a Back to the Future remake? How terrible would that be?
It's just like,
it's coming. I feel it coming.
And it's, here's the thing, like, does that film need to be modernized?
No.
Like, are people going to watch, like, it's too 80s for me? It's like,
absolutely not.
It's like, remake the films that didn't do good because you know what to change. It's like,
yeah, Exactly. Could you imagine remaking Jaws and then saying, let's put a CGI shark. Let's take a movie that had a $9 million budget, made $470 million and remake it.
Oh, have you not seen the trailer for 47 Meters Down with Mandy Moore?
Oh, my gosh.
Watch it. It's terrible.
I'll save myself the headache.
I think the last bit of news before we get on to predicting the Rotten Tomato numbers for June.
Yes.
We have Tom Hardy will be Venom in a standalone Venom movie at Sony.
Yeah. And just to clarify, that is not KRCU's Tom Hardy from A Hardy Appetite.
Yeah, that'd be a great film.
I would sign up for that.
This is a British, he played Bane Tom Hardy.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting move from Sony here, because obviously they didn't sell the rights. Here's the thing, people. They didn't sell the rights to Spider-Man to Marvel Studios. They let them have it for a price, of course.
Yes.
But again, you know,
everything comes at a price.
The disaster of Amazing Spider-Man 2, you know, kind of ruined what they had planned for their Spider-Man universe. They had a Sinister Six movie in the works.
Mm-hmm.
They had, I think, Spider-Woman in the works at one point. And I guess they're trying to get back, because, again, they have the rights. They can do this.
Yeah.
I doubt they'll be able to do Spider-Man, because I imagine there was a contract clause there that says, you can have the rights. And then Marvel's like, okay, you can't make one, though. So,
yeah.
But again, how can you have Venom tearing up the place without Spider-Man? It's going to be interesting.
Yeah. It's going to be a trip.
And I think the last bit of news, Goosebumps 2 will happen.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So there you go.
There, Goosebumps fans, it's your lucky day. It's coming. So moving on to predictions.
We got the big one in June. We have DC's Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman.
DC recently famous for not the best Rotten Tomato scores.
Yeah, and you love Wonder Woman, so they cannot mess this up.
I think this is the most important film they have to get right.
Yeah. But will they get it right?
Here's the thing. There's just been a lot of these people who are involved in Warner Bros. Come out saying it's exactly like Batman versus Superman and Suicide Squad. They're advertising these grand trailers. Like, how could this not be bad? It's like, they're kind of getting the only good scenes and just...
Yeah, true.
Again...
It's hard to give it a finite number, but if you had to, what are you giving it?
The cynic in me, the Wonder Woman fanboy in me hopes it's, you know, like a 95. Like, I want this movie
that's
to be...
Pretty, that's pretty lofty.
I want this movie to be perfect, because I've been waiting for it for so long. But again, we have to consider what DC and Warner Bros. Have been doing recently, so...
70-ish?
I'm going to say 60s.
60s?
65.
Fair enough. But I'll give it a 70. Ish.
I will say if it's
emphasis on the ish.
If it's at 35 opening day, I would not be surprised.
Yeah, you're
and
right.
I hate to say it, because I don't want movies to fail. Obviously.
Well, yeah, of course not. You never want something to fail.
But again, it's like
unless it's something like the Emoji Movie, then that yeah, oh, you that, want that to fail.
I'm hoping that gets a zero. I am cheering for a zero.
Now, Transformers. I mean, you know how I feel about Transformers. I love to hate Transformers, I guess, in a sense.
You love the first one, but...
I love the first one.
At least you came to terms like, oh my God, they're still making these.
Yeah. Love the first one. I can tolerate the second one. But after that one, it's like, come on now.
I think the last one made, I think it was like 20-something percent, maybe even lower, honestly. Yeah.
Official prediction?
I'm going to say 24%.
I'll give it 37.
Okay.
Now, just to...
Marky Mark somehow makes... crap work. I'll say that.
Exactly. And just to preface, we have zero credibility in giving these movies numbers. So when we talk about this next
filler.
Week, exactly. When we talk about this next week, when we have the actual numbers, don't be surprised if we're completely off.
Yeah, because Wonder Woman's coming out June 2nd, so we'll have
it's going to be
soon.
That's right around the corner.
Yep.
The Mummy, I'm honestly kind of looking forward to this.
I think it could be good.
I agree.
I'm not going to lie. If it's 75, I think I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
Because, again, Tom Cruise, he knows what to get in now.
Yeah.
Say what you about his past performances, he's doing really good recently.
Yeah. Now, Despicable Me 3, what do you think?
I'm so done with Illumination Studios.
Yeah.
I can't even begin. I mean.
It does look kind of funny, though. I'm not going to lie to you.
Minions was a disaster.
Yeah.
it just, the more I watch his.
Maybe it's because I like stupid comedy and love Steve Carell.
Maybe.
Fair enough.
Oh, Steve Carell's great.
Yeah.
But, the first time I saw Despicable Me, and of course Despicable Me 2, I liked them. But again, the more I watch, I'm like, these are just the most cliche. It's so forced in what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
And I feel like I've finally broken into it. I'm like, can I even watch this film now?
Yeah. True.
But again, it works with critics, it works with the general audiences. I'm going to say.
Works for 80. Kids.
I'm going to say 80%.
Fair enough. 80. I agree. 80%. Now,
because that's a film you can't review like how I would review Alien Covenant. There's you can review films.
You can't break it down that way.
Yeah.
But an animated movie that I think you can review at that level of depth, and my honestly my most anticipated movie of June, Cars 3.
Mm-hmm. It looks very dark for any ride it should have to be.
And, I mean, look at Pixar's track record. They make good stuff. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Oh, and yeah. I know that's vague, but it's from an animation standpoint. I mean, this is going to sound stupid because Disney owns them, but I think Pixar is the Disney of the 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
When I say Disney, I'm referring to the golden age of Disney and then obviously the Renaissance that started in 89. I think Pixar is doing, they develop stories, I think, better than any other animation house in the biz.
Oh,
I mean, I really think so.
And you know, the past half decade or so, you know, they've had some bumps in the road. You know, Monsters University, let's be real.
I mean, I enjoyed it. I didn't hate it.
I
mean, it wasn't the original, but it was fun.
I feel like they kind of missed the point of, well, we'll get into that later when we get to Pixar.
We're going to have a Pixar episode.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
But again, they came around with Inside Out and Finding Dory, so you know what?
Oh, yeah. Inside Out was brilliant. I mean, from a character development standpoint, and you have a short amount of time, and again, you're developing, one, inanimate objects most of the time, and you do have some human characters. But I thought that film was brilliant in approaching what could be considered some very sensitive topics in a kind of lighthearted way. I thought it was great. I thought it was a good movie. A lot of fun.
You know what? I think I want to see Pixar handle a sports redemption story.
You think so?
I want to see Cars 3 really bad. I'm going to say 85.
85?
I think this is going
to
be...
I'm going to say like 87 to 90.
Okay, fair enough.
I mean, Pixar has a pretty good track record when it comes to... You know, decent ratings.
Yeah. Cars 1 may not have been the most successful film they were hoping for.
Yeah.
Cars 2 is obviously the worst thing ever made.
Yeah, that was rough.
But you know what? From what I've seen, I think Pixar could handle a very dark kids film.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, John Lasseter, I mean, I think is one of the most brilliant minds in animated filmmaking alive. Him, well, Hayao Miyazaki as well from Studio Ghibli. I think they're the two brightest minds living today when it comes to animated film. I mean, and you see it a lot more than just with animated film and John Lasseter. I mean, he's obviously working with Walt Disney Imagineering and doing theme park development. I think obviously it's a huge team of men and women working together to do this. But I think as, you know, the Walt of his company, I think he just brings it together better than anyone in the industry today.
I agree.
Any other movies you want to talk about or predict for June?
I'm about to say, I think those are the
big ones.
Big ones, yeah.
Well, that's the month of May. Anything else?
No. Like I said, we've always wanted to talk about we've always said we were trying to be an industry show as well as just, you know, film review and talking about film. And this is here we go.
Here we go. We're getting right into it. So next week, what is next week? Our personal top 10. This is a big episode.
The thing we have tried to make a lot of times.
Yeah, we've made this episode, I think, a total of 4 times at this point. And I think we've come to the conclusion that it's an episode that we're going to have to record every few months an update, because as film buffs, it does change. Now, it's typically the same movies that stay within the same realm of, you know, top 10 to 15, but it does cycle in and out, you know.
Honestly, there's a lot of films that I have seen the past couple of years that I think I love to death, like Wolf of Wall Street, but is it too early for me to say it's one of my top 10 favorite films?
Fair enough,
You always need time.
Exactly, and that's kind of how I feel with La La Land. I mean, everyone knows when we started this show, I couldn't say enough about La La Land. And then it started to settle, you know? I mean, a movie like that starts to settle. You're kind of on a high from it, you know? As mentioned, I went and watched it 4 times in the theater, and I was just like, okay, you know, I had a high on it. Now I'm letting it settle before, kind of like you said, you don't want to pull the trigger too quick and put it in your top list and then, you know, look back in a few years and be like, wow, I consider this one of my favorite movies of all time when I'm comparing it to literally some of the greatest movies of all time.
Colin is just referring to my number 4 favorite film.
Yeah.
Because we recorded that already.
Yeah. You'll hear that next Tuesday.
Because I have to say, before I really started getting into film, you know, like the idea of like reviewing it and getting into the art of it, the only film I really watched were midnight movie, B movie, science fiction. Like that stuff I love.
Yeah.
But so there's a lot of films, you know, that most people are like, you haven't seen this film. I'm like, nope. And again, it could come up. So that's why we're going to do it every 6 months.
And to no surprise, I'm a huge fan of the 70s, 80s adventure films. I mean, those hold the most special place, Mark. I mean,
from a certain famous director, I believe.
Schmieven Spielberg. You ever heard of him?
Sounds correct.
No, that's my boy, Steven Spielberg. But yeah, so that's a fun episode.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, as always, folks, you know, you want to, do you have anything else to say?
That's it.
Okay. As always,
we talked for almost 30 minutes. We're good.
Yeah. People are probably done listening to us.
Oh, yeah.
So, as always, folks, check us out on, let's see, iTunes, Google Play, KRCU.org. Also, get on that Facebook page, search KRCU, give it a like. You can stay in touch with everything that's happening at KRCU, which it's a lot of stuff, a lot of local programming. And you can stay in touch with us to see what we're doing. Again, we're getting into the summer season. We have a lot of stuff coming up that you're not going to want to miss. Anyway, so, for real talk, I'm Colin Ritter.
And I'm Peter Lewis.
We'll see you at the movies.